Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan, and as usual, you're listening at CindySheehanSoapbox.com or CommunityProgressiveRadio.org. Today, I am presenting the recording of a community conference call about Tour de Peace, the way forward. Where do we go from here? And we heard from very awesome activists and their ideas how we can consolidate what work we've been doing for the past 6 months on Tour de Peace. So stay tuned and listen to this wonderful conference call.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi, Joyce is here. Should we mute?
Joyce?
We can mute in a few minutes. We'll wait a couple minutes. This is Cindy.
Cindy, hello. This is Bowen. This is Bowen Roberts. How are you?
Hi, Bowen. I'm okay. How are you?
I'm fine. I called in. I wanted to get in early. I was hoping somebody would show up a little bit early because I had a little bit of something I wanted to talk to you about.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
But can I have a few minutes of your time? Because what I've got to do is I've got to get back on the phone. I got almost 200 names to call in Connecticut for my 9/11 stuff. So I'm gonna have to get going. Otherwise, everybody's gonna be in bed.
Actually, this would not be a good time. You know, unless it's Tour de Peace stuff. It's a Tour de Peace call, and it's gonna start like right now. So.
Well, Tour de Peace, and it's peace.
Yeah, this is about a Tour de Peace wrap-up, so maybe you can message me, email me, and we can set up another time.
Okay, that went good, though, so far, outside of getting stuck in jail once.
Right, it was good. So, yeah, sorry about that. We're going to wait maybe like one more minute. I see more people are calling in right now.
All right. So, I'm going to monitor for a moment, and then I get back to my calling.
All righty.
Thank you. Okay. It's nice to hear your voice.
Okay, you too, Bella. So we're going to wait exactly 1 minute, and we'll get started with a call.
Okay, good.
And what I'm going to do, I guess I'll explain it to everybody. I'm going to go down the list of people in the order that they called in, and ask people if they have any questions or comments or if they want to talk about their experience. Or this is called The Way Forward, so, you know, if people have any ideas. And this call is being recorded to play on the soapbox and to have a recording you know, we can have a record of what we talked about. So that's how we're going to do it. So right now, if everybody can press *6 on their phone, and then I'll call on you the order that you called in. And if Bowen can hang on for a couple more minutes, then you're up first, Bowen, if you have something that's related to Tour de Peace, The Way Forward.
I'll tell you what, Cindy, I will pass on that because I'm sure I'm not quite in that boat, but I'm going to mute right now.
Okay, so everybody go *6 on your phone, and we have a few people that haven't muted yet. Dee Dee, don't mute because you'll be the first one up. This is Cindy Sheehan, and I welcome you all to the Tour de Peace conference call. This is a wrap-up of the 90-day excursion that we took across America, some of us riding our bikes and some of us hosting those who were riding and those who were supporting the effort. And some people who supported the effort from their homes, they donated to us or did work for us, organizing work for us from where they were. And so we're going to get, I'm going to go last. And so I want to hear from everybody on the call. If you don't, when I call your number, I'll call your area code
the first three numbers of your phone number, and not the whole number. And so it'll be your turn to talk when I call on you. If you want to pass, just tell me that you would like to pass. And so I really think that I just want to say this before I just shut up and let other people talk, and then I'll give my impressions and what I believe should be the way forward after everybody else talks. But I wrote an article last night, and like I said in the article, there's many things that exceeded my expectations for Tour de Peace, and there's some things that defeated my expectations. And so that have kind of put me in a mild depression since I've been home. So anyway, I'm going to call on Dee Dee Miller, who was the organizer, the main organizer for Tour de Peace. And Dee Dee joined us on the actual tour three times, I think. So she has a unique perspective. So Dee Dee, welcome to the call.
Well, thank you very much, Cindy. Hi, everybody. First, I just want to thank everybody who participated, and those of you local organizers who were such a great help to us all. The tour was amazing. I do have to say I'm glad that part of it's over, but since we're talking next steps, my thoughts on it were, if we did want to keep this thing going and move forward, is that we organize local but national bike rides perhaps once a month, topic-wise. Like, for instance, today we could all ride our bikes to our federal buildings that demand that they do civil rights actions again, or a case against George Zimmerman, for instance. So that's, you know, my thoughts on moving forward, is that we could do sustained monthly, once a month, a la critical mass rides, and just to keep this thing going. Also, Cindy and I have been talking for probably the whole entire 6 months of the Tour de Peace about having a ride in Crawford, Texas, for Camp Casey. So I think that's something we're looking at doing for the 10-year anniversary, perhaps sooner, maybe for the 9 years, that would be this year. So anyway,
actually, the
year. Yeah. Okay.
The 8th year.
Yeah.
The years would be the 9th year. Yeah.
Okay. So 9th year. So those are just my thoughts on moving forward. I'd like to hear, you know, what anybody else thinks about that, or if it's a good idea, or of course your ideas on what we could do to sustain Tour de Peace. So again, thank you, everybody. Keep on rolling.
All right. Thank you, Dee Dee. And thank you for all your hard work for Tour de Peace. And I know that it was a lot of hard work. So the next person that I'm going to call on, if they want to speak, is 415 area code, 415-505. So if you would like to *6 and unmute your phone, 415-505. And if you have any comments or questions.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi,
yeah.
It's Joyce. Hi, great. Thanks.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi. I was, of course, so interested in the dream that you had when you returned, that you wrote about in your newsletter last week. Of a group of about 100 gathering together, and then your megaphone was taken away from you, and it struck me that that's the symbol on your website.
Right.
And then your sense was the dream was telling you to focus on community and inspired by the people that you met on the tour.
Yeah.
So. You know, I'd like to hear a little bit more about when you share some of the people that you met and how you think this community, you know, could evolve, what it could be. But my sense was, when I read that you were right on, because the Megaphone is kind of like your website, but this is getting out there, like the bike tour was and like your marches are, with people. And I think that's what's happening now a lot. You know, we're getting out from behind our computers. And and I think your point was getting to know each other, and that was our security. So I'd just like to hear more from you about that. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Joyce. What Joyce is talking about is a dream that I had last week. And I had a dream that I was leading a group of people, and it was about 100 people. And I was, and Diane G., you're going to be next if you want to unmute your phone. I was, I think I found out that the police state was going to raid us and stop us from our journey, whatever our journey was. And so somebody gave me a microphone and said, you know, let's talk about it. Let's tell everybody what we should do, or let's talk about what we should do. But I didn't want to use the microphone because I know that the government is listening to us, and I knew that if I used the microphone that the police would be able to overhear us. And so I was telling everybody to gather closer together and closer to me, and I kept saying in the dream over and over and over again, if we don't know each other, we can't help each other. And so I think that that was kind of a prophetic dream in many ways, and, you know, not a prophetic dream that I'm foreseeing in the future, but a dream that does give us the way forward. So my dear friend Diane G., who organized for us in Ann Arbor and who also hosted Dan and Malcolm and I when we stayed in that area, is the next one up. So hello, Diane. Welcome to the Tour to Peace call. And I know you must have a comment or a question or some ideas.
Well, first of all, I want to say it was awesome meeting you. You are as warm and lovely in person as I would imagine you would be. It's one thing to be an activist and missing all the time and have to speak and inspire, but you're a lovely human being at heart and easy to be around. And I also want to thank Dee Dee, the unsung hero behind the scenes, who worked her butt off, you know, from the other end, who really did an amazing job for you. So that's my first comment.
Okay, thank you. I feel likewise with you.
And secondly, you know, and I listened to Dee Dee talk about organizing rides and stuff, and I know from this end, working hard to try and get riders out there, it was abysmal. It was disappointing. It upset me. And we really couldn't do it. I think the problem, the biggest problem is in the U.S. is people are working a million hours. The free time, the hours, whatever's involved in it. People like me with a slip disc where if I get on the bike and lean at that 45 forward, well, I just won't be able to walk for a month. It happens. But what really inspired me is I got 17 disparate groups that, some of which didn't get along with each other or used to be part of one group, to come together because of you. So my idea of moving forward is a virtual tour where you sponsor events, anti-war, the class war events in city to city, sponsored by you or endorsed by you, where you ask people to come together, and unlike our event was on a Wednesday and getting people off work when you're losing your house, that's not going to happen. Michigan is probably at the bottom of the economic poop pile. Sponsoring events saying, okay, we would like a rally on this day in this town. Can I get you behind me? Because you inspired a whole group of people to greater activism in ways that you don't even imagine. You don't even imagine the emails I get or the things I've attended since. I think that if this happened in my microcosm, it's probably happened across the nation. And if you show interest back in them, you can keep them inspired. So even a virtual tour of activism saying, you know, this has my Cindy Sheehan stamp of approval, this Saturday is in this town, this Saturday is in this town, this Saturday is in this town, so people don't have to leave work. I think you could possibly keep that ball rolling of enthusiasm that you created.
Oh, thank you, and that's what this call is about, is that we want to keep the energy, not just keep it going, but also build upon it, and because gathering together in community is so important, and getting to know each other is so important, and like I wrote in my article last night, I would love to circle the wagons and, you know, grow my own food and produce my own energy, but I profoundly care about the people that this country is murdering, you know, here and abroad, and so I can't just make it all about, you know, that. There has to be an outward component of this, too. What do you think, Diane?
I think you're absolutely right. I think that you energize people. War and murder and everything else is super crucial to our message and to what you believe and what I believe. I think that once we work, even if our thought is, I don't even know how to put it, empathy. Right now, Americans are panicked about their own welfare. They can barely think about anybody else's welfare. They're, you know, it's a racist, elitist mindset. But now that we're all beginning to suffer, they're beginning to have a little empathy. They're beginning to have a little compassion. So if you were to make this a combined effort of anti-war, but anti-class war effort, the people that used to be doing okay, that were comfortable with things going on, or at least could put on the blinders and say, yes, no, I'm not really good with people dying, but it's not my business. In the meantime, I'm trying to save my house. Now that they're losing their houses, they see that it's a war against all of us, and that the war machine is sucking lifeblood out of our society in order to murder other societies. I really think that you can reach people.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell just very quickly, I guess we're going to move on to the 908-881 caller that's next. But quickly, Diane, say what that lovely activist said when he took us out to dinner after the rally. Do you remember?
No, not exactly. Please help me.
Remember when he was telling me that they used to have a weekly anti-war rally, but they stopped years ago?
Oh, yes, I do. He's like, we had it. We had it every week. We came every week. And after Obama was elected, nobody came. We threw this every week, and nobody came. And finally, they quit throwing it.
Yeah, first he said, we used to do it, but we don't do it anymore. And I asked him, well, why don't you? The wars are still going. And then he explained that it was just a couple of people every week and other people had stopped. So that's just what we're up against, I think. I think is that that terrible energy. So anyway, Diane, thank you so much for this and everything you do and the help you gave us. And I'm going to call. Thank you. Peace out. Love you. The next number is the 908-881 number. If you'd like to make a comment, you can unmute your phone by going *6. I'll wait a couple of seconds. I know it takes a while.
Hello, Cindy. This is Bob Wutanik. How are you?
Hi, Bob. Is that you, the 908-881 number?
That is me.
Oh, there you go. You should. I have a little switchboard here, and I can see people. It just took a little while for you to show up after you started speaking. So, Bob, hello. Bob Wutanik. Everybody on the call, Bob organized the Tour to Peace, the Northeast feed, and they rode their bikes from New Jersey down to Washington, D.C. to meet us there. So, Bob, welcome, and any comments, thoughts or whatever that you have, we'd be thrilled to hear it.
Yes, we had a tremendous experience. It was an aggressive 3-day fast-paced bike ride down from New Jersey to Washington, D.C. We covered 235 miles in 3 days. And aside from the political aspects, it was a tremendous life experience. First for me to throw caution to the wind and take it to the road, you know, and it's different seeing the country from a bicycle as opposed to from a car. I've driven distances before, but you get more personal. It's more in your face when you're going through on a bicycle. And we drove through literally dozens and dozens of miles of poverty on our way down. We drove through Trenton. We drove from North Philly, through Wilmington, Delaware, through Baltimore. We saw thousands of people living in poverty. We drove past several prisons. We drove past several massive military bases. We took a detour out where I met Cindy for the first time in the middle of a torrential downpour. We did a five-mile out and back, 10-mile altogether, to get out to Fort Meade to show support for Bradley Manning. We saw the city that's within Fort Meade. It's a tremendous to see the cities inside these military bases. It was a truly life experience. It was three of us on a bike and a support driver, so four in our crew. We had a supporter who came out and guided us through Philadelphia. We all had a tremendous experience, and we all want to do it again, and we've been talking to people also who are interested in doing it again, and we have ideas about how we can go about making it more effective, making it more possible for more people to participate for, like, short parts of it and for the longer haul. Maybe you have three different paces, like a 3-day, 4-day, 5-day pace, and have where we could pick up people along the way and plan it out, try to coordinate with critical mass groups and other biking groups and bike shops, et cetera. There's a lot of ideas. Maybe coordinate it with culminating in a day when there's some sort of national event in D.C. and we could be like kind of like the masses riding through the cities, heading to there, helping to spread the word on the way down, et cetera. So all three of us who rode, and our driver, all were very much moved by it. Was also an experience meeting you, Cindy, and the rest of the crew down there, and the events that we participated in there. There was just so many rich experiences along the way, not only political, but social and personal, physical, et cetera. And it's like a memory that I will carry forward, and hopefully we'll be able to repeat or an even greater experience in the future. I think it's a good idea. It's an idea that whose time has yet to fully been realized. There were a lot of people who were telling me, yeah, they maybe, yes, they will, or I'll do it next year and stuff. So I think, like, if I just kind of did a Facebook thing on it. I didn't make a big, tremendous organizing effort around it. I just kept plugging it on Facebook. But I think, like, if there was a more tremendous organizing effort, we could probably get more people on the road on their bikes getting to some major political event.
Well, thank you, Bob. And did you want to talk a little bit about your idea you had, Fit for the Struggle?
Yes, it's an idea that's been kicking around in the back of my head for years, or months, I guess, probably years. The idea of Fit for Struggle is kind of a fitness team of people who are involved in struggles. I like to say struggle for system change. Cindy inspired me to this physical feat. I happen to be a middle-aged triathlete, but I've never had done this much biking in such a short period of time, and I've always been meaning to. And when I heard about Cindy's cross-country cruise, I said, well, what better way to motivate myself than to just say, yeah, I'm going to do this. And once I started announcing on Facebook that I was going to do it, then I better go ahead and do it. But the idea of Fit for Struggle would be to maybe develop some gear that we could wear, develop some programs and activities, maybe some races, or we could participate in races as Fit for Struggle team, or organize our own running events, swimming events, biking events, etc. And also just to try to instill and to perhaps pull together some resources where we can, not to be preachy about it and not to be judgmental about it, but in a kind sort of way, suggest to those who are our comrades in struggle that we need to consider our physical fitness if we want to, A, live a long life and have the greatest impact as possible on history, B, be healthy so that we can, during that life, have as much focus as possible, and C, that we need to recognize that there is a physical component of our struggle, and what we'll, as we see with, and I'm not suggesting violence or anything like that, but the types of demonstrations that are taking place, there's more and more of a physical pushback from the police apparatus, and you may have to run from tear gas, you may have to run from for blocks and blocks from whatever things might happen, so it's good to be fit if we're going to take this struggle on.
Okay, great, Bob, thank you. And I just want to share something very quickly about that. Was it 2009 when there was the G20 in Pittsburgh? And I decided I was going to go to the G20 and protest it. And before I went, like 2 months before I went, I joined a gym. And I was with my daughter, and the guy said, "Why are you joining?" And I said, "Because I have to get fit in case I have to run from the cops." And so he looked at me, and my daughter just looked at him and said, "She's not kidding." And actually, when I was in Pittsburgh, we were peacefully protesting, and we were pepper sprayed and tear gassed and chased by the cops. And they would tell us to leave. They'd say, you know, "You need to leave the area." And we would, you know, with force, and we'd leave the area. And they would still chase us and tear gas us and pepper spray us. So, yeah, I actually did need to be in better physical condition for that. And we were there to nonviolently protest. So it's a very, very valid point. So anyway, Bob, thank you so much for what you did and what you're going to continue to do, and I look forward to working with you on Fit for the Struggle. And I'm hoping that we also include a nutrition and holistic eating approach to that also.
And that's certainly agreeable.
Okay, awesome. So our next person, thank you, Bob. Our next person will be from the 541-829, is the first six numbers, 541-829, if you want to star 6. Okay, there you are.
Hi, it's Vernon and Yaney from Corvallis.
Hello,
how are you
guys?
So I've been thinking a lot about how we can apply bicycles to social change.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited about the idea of taking groups of riders from the left coast into the heartlands where the petroleum companies are really exploiting the hell out of things. Because
right.
I think that may affect our future more than anything else. And what could be a more dramatic statement against that than to have people riding on bicycles, willing to accept the leadership of the first people who live in that region, and take on the petroleum companies and the government with nonviolent direct action?
Yes, that's an excellent idea. You mean like where people are, where there's fracking and the pipelines and things like that?
Yeah, in fact, in Northern Cheyenne country, which is southeastern Montana, northeastern Wyoming, and maybe the edges of the Dakotas, you have all three. You have coal mining for export to China, you have fracking for gas, and you have the KXL pipeline coming through there.
Exactly. That's a really excellent idea and excellent point. And I know I can speak for Tour de Peace that we would, and I know you have been bike riding, you've been cycling for peace for quite a while, and you know, I don't want to pretend like we invented that because I know we didn't, but you know, and I know that our comrade and friend Ron Topi was on the ride, and you've ridden with him too, and I know you guys have made a very dedicated life. It's a lifestyle, it's not actions to you, so I would really love to work with you guys on that.
Cindy?
Yes.
Amy.
Hi, Amy.
I'm not as good a cyclist, let me tell you. Cynthia and I couldn't ride across the country, unfortunately, and we did some sag with Bike for Peace 10.
Uh-huh.
One thing is, I don't think people realize that they can ride from one town to the next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's part of the problem when doing these bike rides is that you want a lot of people with you, but they don't realize that they can go from their town to the next town.
Right.
You know, that's how you get more people, and I think you were more successful than we've ever been because you had, you know, support arranging things that we didn't have because we were on, you know, trying to deal with it on the fly.
Yes.
And there's that's really important. I guess the having the rally in one town is make sure that it's possible. Maybe connect with people in those towns and say, we'd like to do this. When would be a good time? You know, that way you get people who are more likely to be able to do it. I'm just so pleased with what you did. Glad you're home. And it just feels to me like an extension of Bike for Peace.
Yes, definitely. One thing I want to say, too, Janie, is a good point, but a couple points that you brought up and that Vernon also brought up is that, you know, I started off the ride in not great physical condition because I had been sick, and I just promised myself I would go as far as I could every day, and then I would go in the support vehicle. And so I like worked myself up to 50 or 60 miles a day, and then I hurt myself. So I had to cut back to like 25 miles a day. So the important thing is to know that, you know, you're out there doing what you can, and you don't have to be a superman like Bob Watanik or Ron Topi and go 100 miles a day, you know. And so that's one point. But another point that I'd like to bring up that Vernon, gave me, reminded me about, is that I think that we could start having almost like peace houses. We can start getting people to make tour the peace houses along the way so we can always be assured of if, you know, for example, if we want to ride from Northern California to Wyoming, you know, we have these places along the way that we can camp at or crash at. And, you know, that's something that we, you know, also have been talking about. And that gets people involved that can't necessarily ride 5, 10, 20, 30, or 100 miles, and people can be involved that way.
Absolutely. I think the idea of weaving together a community of people across a broad range and all of us recognizing we're only a bike ride away from another community that's supportive.
Yes.
And it's true almost anywhere in the country, you can, within one day's bike ride, you can get to another place and you will find people there who are doing something exciting for peace.
Yes, exactly. And that's what we found out. And that's what we want to build upon, and, you know, recognize, honor, support, and build upon it for these exciting, you know, actions and like the ones that you just proposed.
The other thing I think, too, is that you had a SAG vehicle go with you clear cross country.
Yes.
It might be better if you had in those peace houses someone who could come and do that in that community, instead of having one person always being a SAG vehicle.
I agree.
That way, maybe you don't need the SAG vehicle and everybody, but you've got backup if you need it. You know, and the other thing I'd like to weave into this is that our environmental crisis is just insane. We're all probably scared every morning when we wake up. So,
but that, you know, why are we not solving the environmental crisis? Why are we going off to war? You know, it's just all those resources that could be used for something useful. Anyway, there's my soapbox.
Thank you. And that's what, you know, that's why I wanted to do it, you know, is to highlight the connections between the wars and the environment and fossil fuel and things like that. So anyway, Vernon and Amy, thank you so much. And do you have anything else to add?
Yeah, I'd like to offer one resource, because mm-hmm. having done this, you know, I've crossed the country 3 times by bicycle now, all on different routes, and been down both coasts and up the Mississippi. And I decided to write down a book, basically. It's a pamphlet more,
mm-hmm.
How to Bike for Peace. And if anybody wants to read it, I'd be happy to send it to them. It's a free offering.
Do you have an email that people can write you at, or Facebook?
Yeah, probably easiest to just Vernon Huffman, all one word, VernonHuffman, @yahoo.com. I'm also on Facebook. I'm one of Cindy's friends. So.
And also, if you have edits or things that you want to add to that from what your experience has been, that would be really useful if you think of something else and say, we should put this in here.
Absolutely. It's
great.
A work in progress.
Okay, cool. Well, we should definitely look at it. The people that you know, did the ride, and Bob Watanek from New Jersey, and see if we have any, probably think that, wow, we should have read this before we left. And secondly, if we have
it wasn't written then.
It's just new. It's been in about 2 weeks that it's been in process.
Oh, okay.
So I can send it to you, Cindy, and you can pass it on to others, and everybody can get back to me with edits.
Great, Vernon. Thank you so much. Thank you, Yaney and Vernon. Talk
all right,
to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, our next caller, I should say, looks like it might be John Gold, 215-248. Is that you, John?
Hello.
Hello?
Hey, okay, I'm on. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, is this John?
Yeah, it's John. Hey, how are you?
Hi,
doing?
John.
Something Diane Gee had mentioned about one of the reasons that people don't get motivated is because they don't have time, because they have to work and so forth. And I think a lot of the reason has to do with the fact that the media just refuses to cover us at this point. And I think that before any action that takes place, there should be a direct action with whatever media outlet is within a region. To try and get them to cover things. I mean, if you look at what they did with the Trayvon Martin thing, there were scores of people out in the streets because the media nonstop for a week or 2 weeks was covering just the Zimmerman case.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason that we couldn't get a lot of people out there was because they simply didn't know about it. And the reason they didn't know about it was because the corporate media in this country refuses to work with us anymore, not that they ever did. So my feeling is that if we're going to have an action, that we should do some kind of maybe Occupy thing for whatever the local media is within a region we're going to be in, just to try and get their coverage in some form, good or bad. I mean, at least it would get out there so people could see, you know, maybe decide to join up with us or not. I honestly believe that all activists, no matter what your cause is, the corporate media in this country has to be part of that activism, trying to get them to do their jobs, which they're just not doing. And I don't know if that's a possibility. I mean, they're owned by, you know, there are 6 to 8 people, small companies that own the majority of the media in this country, and I don't know that it's possible to get them on a corporate level or a national level to cover certain things, but we're going to try because they just have so much power, and they showed that, again, with this whole Zimmerman thing. You know, again, there were people blocking traffic in, I think it was Los Angeles yesterday, and how long have we been trying to get people to do that? It's just... You got to get the media to somehow cover what we're trying to do. And I don't know how to do that, but it's got to be an issue. It's got to be a focus, I think, of all activists. And that's pretty much what I wanted to say. I'm glad that you got home okay, stuff. And I'm glad you got to see the grandkids. So that's all.
Okay, John. Thank you. That was our friend John Gold, and unfortunately, John Gold was out with us for the first couple of weeks of the tour, and he started to be in a lot of pain, and he went home, and unfortunately, he ended up in, with a horrible condition where he can't feel his body from the waist down, and he's in a nursing home right now. So if you want to support John, go to his Facebook page, John Gold, and check out how that you can help John or support, give him any kind of support possible. John does work really hard. He was one of the people who worked really hard helping us organize things, reaching out to the media. And I just want to say we did not get one piece of national media coverage until the day before the end of the Tour de Peace, and we got on RT, which is national, but it's not exactly a household name for sure. And then, but we did get a lot of local media coverage. And so I want to welcome the next person. It's 971-263. If you want to unmute your phone and make some comments or questions.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, it's Malcolm. How are you doing?
Hi, Malcolm. How are
Pretty
you doing?
Good. Hello.
Hello.
Okay. Well, I don't really know quite where to jump in. I just got in off the road and checked into the call. Is there any question you'd like to ask me or have me approach?
Well, what we're doing is just going down the list of callers and having people, what the name of the call was Tour de Peace, the way forward, and how can we build on what we did over the last 90 days. And actually, that was just the tour part. We've been organizing since January. And where do we go from here? So, you know, any comments about your experiences, Malcolm? Is the support vehicle driver, and he and Dan Levy they're still on their way back across the country, and I believe you guys are in Phoenix today. And so if you have any ideas, thoughts, comments, or whatever, you're in a unique position because you were there every minute of every day.
Well, the most of what I've been trying to do lately is to tie together the connections that we made a little better by stopping in along the way with the folks that we visited going out and just trying to shore that up. And I think I heard somebody earlier speaking about the strengthening of the networks. And so right now that's kind of where my focus has been, and I would like to see that continue. There's a variety of organizations that we've come in contact that I think that we should all talk together a lot as part of a greater network. And so I'd be, you know, looking forward to doing some of that work. there's just so, you know, I still haven't really had much time to think about anything. It's just been doing for months. And the amazing size of all of this, it's a mind blower. How many communities we were in, how many different groups of people we addressed, how many of them were energized by that experience. And to think that we could maybe, you know, build on that. That's just a really awesome thought. I don't really have that much to add right now. We're still in transit and stuff, but it's been an amazing experience working with everybody, and I think a lot of the people that are on the call right now are people I've met, and some of them for the first time on this tour, and I'm just really, really grateful for all y'all and what we might accomplish. And that's really all I got to say right now.
Thank you, Malcolm. Say hi to Dan.
Hello.
Hi, Dan. Stay cool. All right, the next caller, 530-600 number that's on the call, 530-600. If you want to unmute, *6. And
hi, Cindy.
Hello.
Hi, Cindy. This is Michelle from South Lake Tahoe.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you?
Also my editor. She's my book editor. I think I'm doing a lot better.
Are you on the upswing now?
My flunkfluenza, I think, yeah.
Yeah,
so
That's good. I'm glad to hear it.
Oh?
Yeah. I tuned in late, but I don't have a whole lot to add other than, you know, I echo John's sentiments regarding the media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the media just isn't, you know, covering things enough, and people get motivated when they see things in the media. Here in Lake Tahoe, we tried to start a Occupy group, and only 3 people showed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've been advertising and putting flyers up, and, you know, and 2 of the people have dropped out, so... You know, it's like me.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just crazy the way people are not motivated to do something. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think Tour de Peace needs to keep going, you know, with, you know, different actions here and there. I really applaud all of you who were on the tour. I mean, it was amazing the things that you were able to accomplish, and I'm so sorry you got arrested.
Well, it was nothing. It really was nothing.
Yeah, you've got a few under your belt.
Yeah.
But it's a drag that you have to go back there.
Yeah, that's the drag.
But, I was just so proud of all of you. And really, that's about all I have. I just wanted to check in.
Thank you, Michelle. We'll be talking soon.
Okay, good.
Okay, our next caller is from 781878 is your number. If you want to unmute. Seven, eight, one, eight, seven, eight are the first 6 numbers. Okay. I'm going to give a couple more seconds and then I'm going to move on to the next. The next number is 530906 is the next number if you'd like to unmute. Also looks like it's from... around here, California, near me, 530906. Okay. And then if you last 2 want to unmute, that's great. And then we have 1 final person on the call. It's from Erica, 419352. If you'd like to unmute and make any questions or comments. We're really trying to strategize about how we move forward since the first part of the tour, the first bike ride from California to washed up BC happened. And, you know, that happened and we realized that we have to consolidate the energy and build upon the energy to keep going. But the last 3 phone numbers that I just said, they recently joined the phone call, so maybe they don't feel too comfortable with
making comments or making or asking questions. So anyway, I guess that leaves myself and my impressions and what I think that we should do to move forward and to consolidate all of the wonderful energy that we felt and experienced and did across the country. I know earlier Joyce had said that she wanted me to talk about some people we met along the way and some communities that we visited. And the first thing that comes to my mind when people ask me about that is the experience that we had in Detroit, Michigan. And Detroit was kind of like a last-minute add-on. We had planned to go through Indiana, and we didn't get anybody to offer to host us or do events for us in Indiana, but we did get people offer to do events for us in near Kalamazoo and Pawpaw and then Ann Arbor. And then when we were going to Ann Arbor, then somebody arranged for us to meet some wonderful people in Detroit, and they have started a community where they have essentially a peace and history house called the Hush House, and they have community gardens, and it's just a wonderful Baba Charles and Mama Sandra. It's just a wonderful, loving place that draws people in, and it's like the dream I had. If we don't know each other, we can't help each other. And the thing about Detroit is that it seems like they have been on the front line of the austerity assault against the working class, against the poor, against people of color, against inner cities. They're like on the front line of that attack. And it hasn't been since 9/11. It hasn't been, you know, even, you know, since NAFTA or other free trade agreements or Reagan. It's been for decades that the city of Detroit has been under assault. But the people there refuse to be assaulted. You know, they're under attack. They're being oppressed, but the people refuse to be oppressed. And so it's just like such an inspiration of people gathering together in community to help themselves and help their neighborhoods and help their families and strengthen their communities and to take things that, you know, look downtrodden and beaten down and make them beautiful with urban art and plants and gardens and to gather in the churches and to gather in the churches in such a radical way that they really believe, you know, that Jesus was a social worker and that, you know, Jesus really meant peace. He wasn't, you know, Jesus with a machine gun. So that's one of the biggest inspirations we had. And I think that I've talked about it a lot with Malcolm and with Dan, you know, who were with me for the entire tour. We were so inspired what is going on in Detroit. But we could also tell Detroit that every community that we visited is feeling that. They're feeling that austerity. They're feeling that assault. And so they're turning towards each other in community, which is very inspiring and wonderful to behold. And so that part of the tour exceeded my expectations. Like Vernon and Yaney from Oregon were saying, we got wonderful reception across the country, and we were hosted wonderfully, magnificently in many, many places, gave us some wonderful hospitality. The thing that de-seated, and that's a new word, I think de-seated is the opposite of exceeded, but the thing that de-seated my own expectations, and you know, it's nobody's fault but my own, was that, you know, I thought that we would have more energy, anti-war, peace energy, especially when we got to washed up D.C. You know, I realized that our event was on a Wednesday morning, and not a lot of people are available on Wednesday mornings. And you know, I realized that it absolutely poured down rain until 9 o'clock, and that's when our event started. But we got less than 20 people to be in front of the White House with us, protesting the wars, protesting the assault on whistleblowers. We were protesting the assault on the environment. And so, you know, and what I was disappointed in is that, you know, the so-called national anti-war organizations in Washington, D.C., didn't promote it. They didn't, like, get people out there. They didn't even come out there for our event. So that was something that was very disappointing to me. And one of the reasons I think that my energy, besides the exhaustion of riding across the country, why my energy has been so low for, you know, the past couple of weeks that I've been home. But, you know, like I was telling Diane, it's good to turn towards each other in community, but I think we also have to realize that we're part of a global community, and our country is actually killing and exploiting innocent people around the world and destroying their communities, and they're destroying the environment. And like Yaney from Oregon said, I wake up every morning terrified of the world that we're leaving to our children and our grandchildren, and not just here in the United States, but everywhere around the world. So I think part of the efforts going forward is that we have to convince people that everybody in this world has the same existential right to exist, and not just exist, but exist peacefully, exist on a planet that the air is clean and the water is clean, and we aren't subjected to these horrible weather events that are spurred by our dependence on fossil fuels, and the wars that are spurred by our dependence on fossil fuels. So, I think that at the bottom of it all is that every child on this planet belongs to all of us, and not just the children that we can pick up and kiss and hug and hold, or the ones we see on the streets, or the ones that go to school here in the United States, or, you know, the ones who are white or the people of color. Every child on this planet is precious and belongs to us. And, you know, I think that that is the way that we have to go forward. And so anyway, this is a wonderful time to stop because we have been going an hour. I want to thank all of you for joining the call. And as soon as the recording is ready to be sent out, we'll post the link at Facebook page at our Tour to Peace page. So again, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. I love you all. And as always, I'm anxious to go forward. This has been Cindy Sheehan, and this will be played on Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Well, that's our show for today, and I sure would like to hear from you about ideas of how we go forward from here. As always, I can be reached at cindysheehanssoapbox@gmail.com. As always, I'd like to thank my engineer, Don DeBar, and my connection with Community Progressive Radio, and mostly you for listening and for supporting the show. We need to make a better world for all the children, and we need to step outside our comfort zones to do that and step outside the political party paradigm, at least the two dominant parties. So I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Peace out for now.